Chapter 10. Aspen. Rouge stayed with Aspen for as long as she could, but when he saw her glancing with increasing frequency and concern at what she said was a countdown timer, he finally kicked her out.
Go.
It's long after dark, and Mott said he would be back late. I suspect he'll be here at any moment.
Do you think I cannot protect myself?
He raised an eyebrow and gave his scythe a meaningful glance. It leaned against the wall near where he sat on the bed, blade glimmering in the dim candlelight. Rouge set her jaw, even as she gave the invisible timer another concerned look.
Look, I have it on good authority that the soldiers here are all at least level 50. If they decide to come get you, they're going to win.
Aspen sighed and gently asked, If the soldiers here decide to come get me, will your presence truly change the outcome? I respect your will and bravery, but the fact remains that they will take us both, and if we put up a fight, all we can do is die. We will depart before dawn, but for now we must rest. If we leave now, we will have to go without the protection of either Mott or Doombloom, and the beasts outside these walls are too strong for us to defeat.
Rouge pinched her lips together and then blew them out in frustration.
Fine. I'm already overdue to log out, and if I don't go soon, they might bring me back whether I like it or not. I need to be in the dead tent before that happens, or you'll have two zombies to cover and run out of blankets. She smiled a little as she crept silently over to the shuttered window, pushing it open before leaning out slightly, already seeming to fade into the woodwork as she triggered her thief skills.
I'll keep watch outside.
Silas piped up. I can let Aspen know if anyone is coming, and we can try to run.
Aspen glanced over at Mott's mummified zombie.
What about Mott?
Rouge hesitated, and then her shadowy figure slipped out of the window as noiselessly as she had entered.
Leave him behind.
I turned off his follow function so he'll stay here.
No way you can get away with him clanking around.
Hopefully they'll just leave him alone once they realize he's a traveler, but, well, he'll understand.
Aspen nodded, even though he knew the girl couldn't see him.
Very well. Though it pains me to leave a companion behind.
He will respawn if things go badly?
Yep.
The girl's voice was quieter already as she raced through the streets, rapidly moving away from the inn.
Don't worry about him.
He'll be cranky, but he'll catch back up with us in Bloodhaven.
Good night, Aspen.
Aspen shook his head at the elf girl's cheerful lack of concern over her father's potential impending death.
These travelers are strange creatures, are they not, little friend?
He scrooched Silas' ears, and the tiny bat leaned into his hand happily.
I'm still mad at you, she sent, even as she tried to wiggle closer.
I know, he murmured. I just need you to realize that I would do it again. I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings and made you feel that I didn't value your input or thought you couldn't handle it.
It's just, he looked down, I had hoped that this world could become a place where our children don't have to learn to be hard.
You and Rouge are so filled with joy, unlike us tired old soldiers. I will never choose to burden you with the things that broke us.
Then he yelped slightly, flinching away from the suddenly pointy puffball he'd been holding.
You're not broken.
Silas almost shouted.
Stop saying things like that.
You're not old, and you're not defeated.
You're just tired.
Silas zipped around the room a few times before diving out of the narrow opening between the shutters over the window.
I'm going to scout. Because I'm part of your team.
Part of your family.
It's okay to let me grow up.
Aspen stared after her, nursing his wounded hand, which had two small puncture marks on the thumb, which oozed a single drop of blood each.
He put his thumb in his mouth.
Good thing she didn't use her bite skill.
With my luck, I'd get a disease debuff, he muttered to himself around the tender digit.
A deep chuckle came from beneath the blanket by the door, and Aspen nearly fell off the bed, fumbling for his scythe.
A big hand emerged from beneath the blanket and pulled it off.
A wry grin showed beneath his half-helm.
Sorry, the big man rumbled.
It sounded like you two were having quite a conversation, even though I could only hear your side of it.
He looked down at the blanket in his hand.
I got the rouge treatment, huh?
Sorry about that. I wanted to be back sooner, but every time I tried to sneak out early, someone else would show up to office hours. Sometimes I sit there for 2 hours answering mail and playing solitaire, and other days, he shrugged, tossing the blanket on the bed before sitting down himself, making the bed creak alarmingly.
What did I miss?
Did the girls get their own room? The half-helm disappeared, and Maud rubbed his hands over his short, tightly curled hair tiredly. Aspen frowned, caught by the desire to offer some comfort to his obviously exhausted companion. Unfortunately, he had nothing to offer, not even some plain tea. He spoke reluctantly. "It seems that things have changed since Doombloom was here just a week ago. Non-humans are no longer welcome, and the threat level seems to have been raised. Silas said she also overheard some soldiers talking about how Duke Gerald has sent out new orders. It is likely that they are to start looking for Yorga's Penbrook in the morning." By the time he finished speaking, Mott was sitting up straight on the bed, eyes alert and wary. "Where are Doom and Rouge?" "Doombloom is at what you travelers call the Dead Tent. An ominous name, and one that we once used for a far different purpose." Aspen shook his head, pushing away the memory of a tent soaked in blood where the corpses of allies and enemies alike were brought so that he could resurrect them into horrors under his own control. "Rouge was here until just a few moments ago. She stayed as long as she could, to make sure that I would have support if the soldiers came sooner than we expected. She eventually had to head for the Dead Tent herself. I believe Silas may follow, since I managed to say the wrong thing. Again. Those two have formed quite a close attachment." Mott blew out a breath, the crease of concern between his eyes lightening. "Yeah. I think they're bonding over their dislike of overprotective fathers." He shook his head. "I just want to make sure Rouge doesn't have to deal with the things I have. I've had too many times when someone I thought I could trust turned out to be an obstacle in disguise. This world," he waved vaguely around, "was supposed to be something fun we could do together, where I knew she'd be physically safe at least." He looked down, sighing deeply. "It's hard to let them grow up, you know." Aspen smiled ruefully. "I do. Twice over, at least. Lark, too, refused to let me keep her a sheltered child, and," he lifted his thumb, which was now fully recovered from its meeting with Silas' teeth, "Silas has reiterated her dislike of being treated like a baby." He flopped back on the bed, staring up at the knotted ceiling planks. "It's just so hard, after everything that I saw both in the war and after, to believe that they can learn to swim without me there to break the waves." Another warning creak from Mott's bed indicated that the big man had also laid back. There was a long silence before Mott said, "When I was 17 I had my carriage driver's license, I suppose. That just meant that I could drive a carriage without an adult around to make sure I did it correctly. It was a big deal, because now I could go anywhere I wanted. I felt really grown up. In my family, the only parent was my mom. She worked two jobs, and she was gone more often than not. My big sister and I had our licenses, so Mom trusted us to drive around our two younger siblings. My little sister was 15, almost 16, and I had been teaching her to drive for a while. She was good. She was careful and drove the speed limit. Followed the rules, you know? A good kid." He sighed deeply, and there was a catch in it that tugged at Aspen's raw emotions like a pick on guitar strings. "One day, she wanted to go hang out at the market with some friends. I had just gotten a new game. I was playing, and I didn't want to take the time to go with her. It was just me, Kiera, and our little brother Milo, because Mom and Danica were working. I told her no, and she was furious. She told me I was selfish, and slammed the door on her way out of my room." Mott was struggling to breathe evenly now, and the strain was audible. "I didn't even know she'd left until the police, the city guards, knocked on our door. Apparently, she decided to drive herself. She was in an accident, and she was dead. Just dead. No chance for a doctor to save her. No chance to tell her how sorry I was, how much I loved her." His voice choked off, and without even thinking about what he was doing, Aspen rolled off his bed and stumbled to the other man's side, reaching out to lay a comforting hand on the big fist that was clenched against Mott's broad chest. Mott jerked at the contact, then let out a shuddering breath and relaxed slightly. Though no tears escaped from under his tightly closed eyelids, his face was twisted in sorrow and regret. "She was just a kid when she died. All because I didn't go with her. If I had just listened, just been with her," he sobbed once, then clenched his jaw so hard Aspen could see the muscles stand out in sharp definition beneath the dark skin. Aspen curled his fingers around the other man's and just sat there beside him. Silent. Finally, Mott gently pulled his hand from Aspen's and wiped his dry eyes. He forced a smile. "Real men aren't supposed to cry, right? Not that we can here." Aspen stood, a little awkwardly, and moved back to his own bed. Tears don't make you weak. Not being able to face the things that make you cry makes you weak. I'm sorry about your sister. It wasn't your fault, though. You were just a kid, too. Mott sat up, rubbing tiredly at his eyes. He quirked a smile. I must be more tired than I thought. I haven't told anyone about that in years. The last person I told was Rouge's mother. She said it was my sister's fault for going without me. Aspen's fist clenched. She made a bad choice. She didn't deserve to die. You didn't deserve to have that guilt put on you for the rest of your life. Mott raised his hand. I know. I think that was the beginning of the end for us. Rouge was an independent 4-year-old, and I wouldn't let her go to a friend's house or play in our little fenced-in backyard unless one of us was with her. Not even for a minute. I tried to explain to Karen that I just needed to know Zoe was safe, and told her why I was so worried, even though it wasn't always rational or convenient. We had a huge fight, and I think that was when she started looking for someone who would always put her first. Or maybe she just started looking more seriously. She was never really happy with me. Not once the romance of falling in love and getting married was over. She wasn't interested in a relationship that took work. Aspen thought about what Doom Bloom had told him about her stepmother. It sounded to him like Mott had a fairly good understanding of his ex-wife's personality. He nodded. Callie was a bit like that as well. She enjoyed the romance of running away with an infamous young mage, but when Lark spawned as a newborn the day after we were wed. He shook his head. I think she was glad when her father turned up and declared that he'd had the marriage annulled. She certainly left quickly enough and never allowed herself to be alone with me again, though we would occasionally meet at some function or other. The two men shared a moment of mutual understanding, and then Mott cleared his throat uncomfortably. Well, he said, if we have to leave before dawn, you need to get some sleep. I'll keep watch until we can go meet the girls. If you don't get some rest, though, this stop will have been pointless. Aspen knew he was right, and also knew that they both needed to step back from the rawness of the emotions that had risen to the surface during their conversation. So he nodded and laid back in his bed. Good night then, my friend. He glanced over at the large bowl on the single small table that was the only furniture in the room except the beds themselves. There's a bowl of water, some soap, and a cloth over there. I paid a bit extra for it to be warmed, though it's likely cold again by now. You may wish to avail yourself of it. Mott laughed. Ripe, am I? He shook his head. I saw the debuff, but I didn't think it was that bad yet. I'll wash up. Go to sleep. Aspen did.